Oh, so for those of you who are with us all the time, you know that we are in the middle of James. I love getting to do this series because I really hated James. And when a friend of mine encouraged me to read it some more, I read it again and went, now I know why I hate James, because every terrible scripture that I always hated is all slammed into James. And I always used to read it from the lens of the Bible is supposed to tell me how to live a Christian life. And so that was part of the problem, was reading it from that lens. James is, to me, a little bit less than encouraging. But when you understand that James' intention was not to give you a how-to manual, that the how-to manual is really like living the personal life with the Holy Spirit, who says, I don't want to tell you how to do something, I want to do it with you. And that scripture is something entirely different, which is to point to you and tell you who you really are. And I believe that was James' real intention, was to help expose a clash of kingdoms. Because, and most of you know, James was the brother of Jesus. He was not a believer in who Jesus was while Jesus was alive, but had an after-resurrection encounter with his brother and believed that he really was the Son of God. And so he is speaking to the Jews who are scattered, who are believers as well, and what he's wanting to do is equip them in understanding that what they are caught in the middle of is a clash of kingdoms. So I'm going to actually have you put up what we did the other day, Greg, on the, kingdom of heaven and a kingdom of darkness. What? And some people, I remember, I think it was Mike and Jennifer who said they had actually seen like a, oh, I'm sorry, I'm having a blank on the word. You know, when one country has a location in another, an embassy. Thank you. I'm like, dun, 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 dun. What's the word going to be? Embassy. Who bought a vowel? So has anybody else here seen an embassy in another country? Did it look exactly the same, the area that was the embassy looked the same as the surrounding area, or was it dramatically different, CJ? Do you remember?
I was in Canberra, Australia, and it was like all these different embassies, so.
Oh, it was just kind of a row of embassies?
Yeah.
Well, what I didn't realize was that you can be in the middle of like a desert, and then you'll have an embassy right smack in the middle of it, and that embassy really reflects sometimes the wealth or the lack of wealth that it represents for the country, because that soil actually belongs not to the country they're in, but to the country that owns the embassy. And so you can tell sometimes a stark contrast from the culture around it to the actual embassy, where you can see poverty on one side of a wall and great wealth on the other, or the opposite, great wealth on one side and poverty on the other side of the wall. And James is wanting the Jews to understand that you as Jews are not only living in an inhabited world, you know, by other civilizations, but you now as believers, as co-heirs with Christ, as fellow citizens of the kingdom of heaven, are now living in an inhabited territory. And we are the, as Paul says it, the ambassadors of Christ. So we have an embassy within us that we are looking to expand its territory so that the wealth and the goodness of God overtakes what has ruled our earth. So it's kind of like not really even, but we're going to just put
not
it
even?
Up like that. No, like in real life, the kingdom of darkness isn't really even to the kingdom of heaven. But you did a really good job and actually made it look like even. So what I'm saying, right? You did a good job. No criticism there. Just saying, like, you know, it's not like, okay, here's half and here's half. But so what James is wanting to do is really help people understand the secrets and the mysteries to who we truly are, not by works, but by our identity, by our birthright with Christ. And so with that, we jump into chapter 4. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and we'll go from there.
The whole thing?
No, we're going to do the first half.
All right.
Do you have a preference here?
Yeah, you know my verse-by-verse preference.
Well, I know. We'll
All right.
He likes the verse.
I trust you. You got him in control here.
Thank you. This is way more trust than he has when we're driving, by the way. Just telling you. Oh, he's a terror when I'm driving. It's so bad. It's as if he could will the car to go around the corner like it's a motorcycle. But it is a minivan, and it's never going to not be a minivan.
You can do some things.
Okay. Yeah, well, you've done some things. Anyway, all right. So James moves on and says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your own desires for pleasure that war within your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and you could not obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity or adversarial with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain that the spirit who dwells within us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." And I would read that and feel kind of defeated. And go, I don't even know what... You're telling me to do something, like, okay, ask, but when you ask and you don't get it, it's your own fault, right? So you want these things, but you don't have them because you don't ask. If you do ask and you still don't get them, it's because you didn't ask for the right reasons. Just know that if you're a friend of God, then you're an enemy of the world. If you're not, then you're not really a friend of God, if you somehow know how to make your way in the world. He gives grace, good news, love that, but submit to God and the enemy will run from you. And I'm going, I've submitted and I didn't see him run, so I don't know how to do that. I'd like to draw near to God. Oh my goodness, how many nights have I spent in my office wanting to draw near to God, not perceiving his presence? And I would love to cleanse my hands and purify my heart and not be double-minded. And if that's not enough, then I guess I get to be really sad and weep, and then maybe then God will lift me up. That's not a really great, that's not a good perception, is it? But I didn't know how to see it any other way. Anybody have a similar experience? Yes, okay. I'm like, one? Is there only one? And so I got to spend time in this beautiful passage understanding James' heart, because James is not trying to equip me on how to live a Christian life. He's wanting to expose the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And it starts right here at the beginning, and this first piece has absolutely transformed my life and our marriage. And it says, "Where do wars come from and the fights? Do they not come from the desires and pleasures that war within your members? You want things that you can't have. You even do things..." Let me read it this way. Where do fights and wars... Where does the stress come in your life? Where does the mental discombobulation come from? Doesn't it come from the fact that you want something but you can't obtain it? Doesn't it come from a desire that maybe you know isn't even good for you? Is it possible that there's a desire that's not actually yours? Because how can I be at war within myself if I'm wholly, right? Even Jesus himself said, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. So James is trying to give us a hint into a secret, into a mystery. And he's going, there is something in you that is masquerading as your own desire. And you have embraced it as your own. This was the light bulb moment where I realized that my desires to eat way more calories than I needed every day might not be my own desires. that there was a desire at war against me. Does that make sense? So there was a desire within the kingdom of darkness, masquerading as me within my own self. Right? And it was counter to me. And it would cause me to behave in ways that would embarrass me. It would cause me to lust after things. It would cause me to take action on things that would humiliate me. Has anybody ever done anything humiliating ever in their life because they wanted something? And then later you went, why did I do that? He's saying there is something that can happen in your very physical, emotional, mental being that another kingdom can have access to. So don't be fooled. This isn't who you are. This is something that has come against you in your own emotions, in your own cravings, in your own thoughts. And it's not you, because you are a child of light. You are a child of goodness. So let me unveil the mystery. Something has lodged itself in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions, in your being, and it is counter to you. And it will cause you to behave in ways that embarrass you. Isn't that genius? So good. I know we've all had that experience, because I would say to myself in the morning, I'm going to eat really well today. I'm going to eat really well. And like, I eat really well until like 2 o'clock. I might not eat anything at all, which means that's not healthy. But you know what, and then, 5 o'clock would roll around and I'd eat really well. And Greg would go to bed and the kids would go to bed and I'd be up for 2 more hours and I would consume 5,000 calories. And I'd be like, ugh. You know, as soon as I felt like excessively full, I would then go, oh, what happened? Why? I don't have self-discipline. Oh, bad me. Oh, and this happened night after night after night after night after night after month after month after month. Struggling with an addiction, going, why can I not overcome this? Realizing that I wasn't at war with myself, I was at war with a kingdom that had masqueraded itself as my own desire. Right? And once I realized, oh, those aren't my desires, I can now disagree with them. I can now stand up and go, oh, now I know what has pulled me by a ring on my nose around in my life, causing me to behave in ways that I do not like. And I can say, you desire in me are not me, you are my enemy. And I get to release and agree with the kingdom of heaven instead. So 2 years ago, isn't that fun? Okay, anyone want to comment? You're welcome to jump in. Yeah, okay, all right. So about 2 years ago, the Lord said to me, the word that is your gift, each year he gives me a word, and then we get to explore that word. And the word he gave me was satisfaction. And I was like, satisfaction? What? That's the weirdest word ever. I was like, you want me to become satisfied? And he goes, no. He goes, I want to prove to you my satisfaction. And I said, I didn't even know you were satisfied. I thought you were kind of dissatisfied. I thought, like all the evil that's happening in the world, doesn't that dissatisfy you? And he goes, well, let's have that conversation. So for 2 full years, we had a conversation almost every single day about his satisfaction. And as I lived my life and made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and, hang out with my kids and hung out with my husband and did the things that you do in a simple life, the Lord would be talking to me about how he felt about the circumstances surrounding me. And he started to show me how satisfied he is with who he is for every person in each situation. He started to show me how satisfied he was. And he goes, I need you to understand how satisfied I am with you. That when I thought of you and created you in my imagination, I was so satisfied that I said you were Barak, you were good. And I rested because it was done. And I am so satisfied with who I made you to be. And he said, this struggle that you're having with dissatisfaction can only be overcome with my satisfaction regarding you. So the very desires that made me feel dissatisfied are not solved by self-control. They are not solved by self-discipline. They are solved by the Lord awakening us to his satisfaction. Because when we live from a satisfied relationship where a parent cannot be displeased with us and cannot be dismayed with us, we discover that we want for nothing. Right? So one morning I woke up and I was watching some television about something and I was realizing, man, there's something weird going on in the world. That ever happened to you? Like, you know, something weird's going on. I don't know what, but I'm seeing something and I'm not sure what it is. And I had had a couple of business things, kind of like people had commented about some business things that had gone awry. And I was trying to figure out what I was seeing. And I think what I saw was the Lord was showing me the entire world's economy operates on dissatisfaction. Wars break out because one power is dissatisfied with another. People fight because a person is dissatisfied with another. Marriages break up because one person's dissatisfied. They no longer have their needs met with another person. Parents don't get along with their kids because they are dissatisfied with each other's behavior. This entire world's economy runs on dissatisfaction. Money is spent all around the world to solve one issue, dissatisfaction. And I realized that is the weirdest thing. I never really thought of that before. And the Lord said, all of this world's system that the enemy pushes on humanity is for them to be continually wrapped with dissatisfaction. And they feel it and they agree with it because they think it is their own desire. And so then he said, what if the entire kingdom of heaven is based on my satisfaction? What if my satisfaction regarding humanity and the plan that I have and the intimacy that I have and the super satisfaction that I have with you two gorgeous girls who are like gaining so much from your mama and, you know, me. Right? That it is when we enter into his satisfaction in any circumstance or any situation, it's when that situation changes to become aligned with how God sees it. Meaning that when my husband doesn't, I know this never happens, but when you don't meet my needs or you don't talk to me or you are like a functional mute, you know, I'm just saying, for example, some of those things. And I feel dissatisfied and I feel a pressure to become more dissatisfied and try to get that need met. How successful are we on that with relationships, right? Out of dissatisfaction, trying to solve it, how many times are we successful? See, that's what he's saying. Out of this dissatisfaction, you find yourselves lusting and murdering and doing all kinds of things because it is insatiable. But when I get to see my husband the way God sees him, then the Lord shows me who he really is. And I agree with that instead. I start to see my husband actually behave in the very ways that are satisfying. It's such a good shift. So James is giving us a little secret here. Why is it written so harshly? Here's why I think it's written so harshly. What if you were commanding an army, but your entire playbook was handed to the other side? Right? You would have no advantage. Unless, of course, it was written in code. Unless it wasn't visible on the surface. And I totally believe And scripture even says itself that it requires enlightenment. It requires a spirit of wisdom to unlock the mystery that's inside scripture. So you cannot read it just at the surface and go, that's, well, it says what it says. Because even scripture itself says it requires the Holy Spirit to unwrap the mysteries that's written inside. So we can't read it on the surface and go, that's what it says. We need that partnership with the Holy Spirit in life to go, let me unlock this for you so that you can understand the heart of God and the true riches that are held within these pages. So fun. It says, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What he's saying is, if you partner up with the economy of dissatisfaction, you will find yourself always at arm's length from the satisfaction of God. It is when you allow yourself to break hands with dissatisfaction that you find yourself embraced by the satisfaction of God. And I actually found that to be true. Every time in our relationship, when I went after getting needs met, when I was acting out of a place of dissatisfaction, I found myself at arm's length from any solution. But when I agreed that the Lord was satisfied with us, I discovered that we were on different pages. We were made on the same page. When we got married and those vows happened, God put us on the same page. And he, oh, is it misspelled? Sorry. And he would shift this thing to help us relate to each other from a place of his perspective. And that changed everything. What did it mean for me with food? For me, it went with food. It meant every time I felt a desire to eat, it was an opportunity to have a conversation with the Lord. What is this really about? So that I could break with a pattern of habit, with a desire that wasn't mine, and I could get in tune with the real hunger and real desire that was actually my body needing fuel. And so what does that mean? It meant that the very addiction was my invitation into greater intimacy and relationship with him. Win-win. He goes, this is going to open up a whole new world of conversation and relationship and intimacy as I start to show you what these desires are really all about. Yay! And so we move on to the next part, which it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil. And it actually doesn't say the devil. I don't know if you know that. In the Greek, it says, resist the diabolical mindset. Uh-huh. Diabolical. And the diabolical means to throw down from above. So it says, resist a fallen mindset, and it will flee from you. What? That's so good. Draw near to God. Really, actually, it says be embraced by God, and he will embrace you. It is let go of a fallen mindset that's thrusting you down, and you will find yourself in an embrace of God. Cleanse your hands. And this is, let me just shift it. The cleansing your hands and purifying your heart, that is the Lord's. He's not telling you something to do to solve a problem. He's giving you a prophetic proclamation that you are so able. You are so able to overcome this. You are so able to step into this. And hang on, I'm moving over to, this is one of my very favorite paraphrase. It's not so much of a paraphrase because it's an interpretive version of scripture. It's from Francois. And Francois has a really specific view of scripture as well, meaning that he doesn't think it's a how-to manual. He thinks it's really more of a mirror to reflect to us who God really is and who you really are. And so he has a really great perspective on these last little passages. I love this. He says, And this is how I perceive the scripture actually said. It said, snuggle up to the warm embrace of God and experience his closeness. The sinner can come with all their stains washed from their hands, and the double-minded can come with a purified heart. This is not a mere base yielding. Realize that the misery that has been brought upon you and others is often accompanied by intense grief and weeping. There is no place for superficial laughter and make-believe joy, or even an occasion for boasting. Put down your own effort to fight for the rights, and let God lift you up in the dignity of his presence. I have been raised in an environment where humility was something that you're supposed to like put on yourself. And I've discovered there's really no such thing. Humility comes from choosing a path that is lesser than you deserve. You can't do that if you don't know what you deserve. You can't choose something less honoring than you deserve unless you know what you deserve. So you have to know who you are. You cannot humble yourself until you actually know who you are. And what I find often happens is that people who have no idea who they are then put on this humility of debasing themselves. But the Lord said, I'm sorry, you were born in my imagination. You were conceived in my mind. I called you good. You can't be anything less than that. That's good news. Because we then get to, it's the story of the bridegroom where Jesus says, like the people come in and sit at the table, and he says, don't be the person who chooses the highest place of honor. You know, choose something less so that the person can lift you up and you won't be embarrassed if they kind of, you know, put you down. But here's the deal. You have to know which chair is yours. You don't just choose the lowest one in the room. You have to know which chair is yours. And that requires revelation. That requires the kingdom of heaven. Because I'll tell you, the kingdom of darkness, it'll tell you which chair is yours. It'll tell you that you don't even deserve a place at the table. But the Lord goes, let me show you where you are in a room that you walk into so that you will know who you are. And you can choose to let yourself be seen as less because you don't need to be seen the way I see you. And in that choice, I will allow you to be seen the way you really are. How cool is that? I mean, basically what he's saying is just the willingness to be seen as less than you really are just really ticks off the kingdom of darkness. It just really ticks it off. So just mess with the kingdom of darkness by choosing to be allowed to be seen as less than you really are, which is genius and brilliant and gorgeous and fantastic and all the things that God made when he made you. Yay. So, I saved time and didn't do our activity at the beginning because I wanted us to have a chance to talk about it. So, take a card out of the bucket and grab a pen and just ask the Lord what it was about this message that he wanted to highlight to you. What kind of conversation does the Lord want to have with you this week about desires, about satisfaction, about dissatisfaction? Oh, and I'll finish my food story. Here's the best part. I forgot. Many of you know that I struggled with an eating disorder for a lot of years. I thought I was totally over it. And then it came back, and I mean, it was not a part of my life for 10 years. And I was frustrated with being yanked around by food almost every single day, whether or not I was involved in an eating disorder that day. It doesn't matter when you feel like you're being overwhelmed by desires that are not for you. It's still an addiction. And most people approach that like you're supposed to control or manage it. And I don't believe you control or manage addictions. I think that you have to overcome them. And you overcome them with who you really were made to be. But I couldn't figure out what that was for me. And so the Lord said, Ange, let me tell you a little bit about what this whole eating and food addiction has to do with you. He said, I gave you a revelation of my satisfaction, of how I delight regarding humanity every single day, about how I see humanity as a delight, not as lacking or missing anything, but is actually my great pleasure. I gave you this understanding so that you could release, as one human who agrees with God, the revelation of my satisfaction. Every day you are plagued with an emotion that is completely counter to that. You are plagued to think that you are dissatisfied. So that in your very life you will have an act or action that agrees counter to the very identity I made you to be. I made you to be my satisfaction and to live from it, and you are plagued every day by dissatisfaction. So you will overcome dissatisfaction by living more fully in the revelation of how fully satisfied I am with you. The good news in this is that every challenge that we have in our life has a promise of our identity that naturally overcomes it. So we're not trying to discipline our ways into solutions. We're not trying to overcome it by white-knuckling our way through. It is the matter of, Lord, show me who I really am that naturally overcomes this. And so when the enemy presses, and you can just put like, I'm gonna
join with the whiteboard, babe.
Yeah.
Yay, right? Is that okay? I'm driving the car now. It's happening right now. He pushes on us and pushes on us and pushes on us and invades our space. He pushes into our realm and tries to convince us we are something that we're not. With these desires, with a dissatisfaction, pushes on our very being, and what do we don't know to disagree with it. But the Lord gives us a revelation, goes, that's not who I made you to be. I didn't make you to be somebody who's not satisfied. I didn't make you to be somebody who feels controlled by food all day long. I didn't make you to be somebody, you're still in the blank. I didn't make you to be that. So if I didn't make you to be that, it's not you. So you can overcome it. And you overcome it with your very identity. And for me, it was satisfaction. Overcomes and presses that back and presses it out of my very being. And that's the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Yes. Okay. So on your card, I hope that most of you have written like the one thing that you feel like God wants to highlight from this message, or it may not have anything to do with this message, but it's just something he was talking to you about while we were all here together. That happens all the time. And I would love for those of you who would like to share it. So would you?
It's not a test.
Yeah.
There is no right answer.
And we will not be dissatisfied with your answer. But for anyone who'd like to share with each other, that's part of the fun of doing church differently, is that we get to speak up. So who would like to share? Don't all jump at once. Jump.
Be happy.
Nice. All right. Simple. See, this is guys. I used that amount of time and he went, be happy.
Uh-huh.
Right? So good. Thank you. Yay. Good. Thanks. I know, right? It's so good. All right, anyone else? Yeah?
Yeah, thanks. I battle with kind of those same addictions, and so I just try to overcome addictions and know that I'm beautiful just the way I am.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry. I battle with kind of the same addictions, and just eating, just dumb stuff like that. And so I just try to overcome addictions and know that I'm beautiful just the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Anyone else? Is there just one more? Joking. It's a church joke. Haven't you seen The Far Side with like everybody up at the altar and there's one guy like in the front? And the guy says, on the 543rd verse of Just As I Am, isn't there just one more? Like everybody in the whole church is up front, but one guy is going, ha, 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 no, I'm not going up front. And the guy's like, isn't there just one more? Like he wouldn't let it go. I love Far Side. It's so spiritual. Yes, Tom.
I feel feel like I'm so on the opposite of
girls.
In the sense of just in this whole thing, for some reason I just feel like so confused.
Okay.
So I got a big giant question mark, like, and then confused. Mm-hmm. Because like when you're talking about walking into a room and then identifying that I like sitting in the back. I don't like sitting in the front. But I think it came from the fact that I was raised in church and my aunt made me sit up in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I could be the most real person that I could be is sitting in the back.
Right.
Because if I wanted to goof off, I could goof off. And if I, you know, wanted to pay attention or to do whatever, then I thought being in the back was the place to be.
Right. It's kind of more metaphorical. Yeah.
Identification too, in the sense of that's where all the troublemakers might happen. So we were always getting in trouble, and so we were never really listening. So.
Right.
But being up front identified that you were a goody-goody and that, you know, it was kind of frowned upon and being cool, so, you know. I feel like even as an adult, I still like I love to deal to you because I'm back there. But I'm just seeing that it's just an excuse too. So, So as far as my identity goes, you know, yeah. I feel like I'm just all over the place. Some days I feel like I'm freaking awesome, and then other days I just feel like crap.
Yep.
So I don't know. Today's message is just. Conversation with God is focus more on that just kind of together. Is I don't know.
I think that one of the cool things that I perceive the Lord is doing in your life, Tom, is marrying your bad boy and your kingly identity, where you can be a king and also still be super fun. And it's like it's a question mark. It's your question mark going, who does he say that I am? And who do I get to be when I show up and walk in the room? And I think that that's, I super appreciate your vulnerability in sharing that and being super honest. I think that those are very real questions for all of us. Like, who do you say that I am in this room? Who do I get to be when I walk in? That's a big deal. Thank you. Really good. Anyone else?
For me, it's been the Lord was really working on me was in my family right now, I have found that I automatically pick the lowest seat, like the least important. Mm-hmm. And he's just letting me know that there's a happy medium between like the most important.
Yeah. It's funny because you don't even really realize that it's happening. People have expectations of who you're going to be for them. You have expectations for yourself of who you're going to be for people when you walk into a group. I'm discovering that the Lord has a whole other conversation, which is who I get to be when I walk into a group. And that's a really exciting conversation to have. Who do I get to be when I'm with this person? Who is the Lord inviting me to be? So much of our identity has come from who we perceive we ought to be in a relationship. But when we find out from the Lord who we really are, it's so much better news. It's much, much better news. And it aligns that relationship so much better. So who knew that one little metaphor would like, that's an interesting thing. So cool. So we are going to do our exercise that I've been taking risks on.
You're going to do that again?
Yeah. And we're just going to do it for a couple minutes. And so I've been invited by the Lord like almost a year ago to practice listening to the Lord and responding to a situation in a person's life. And I do that almost every day, just listen to a situation in a person's life and then hear what the Lord wants to say. I do that all the time on my own, no big deal. But I haven't really done it in front of a group. And I felt the Lord go, I want you to do this in front of a group. I want you to practice this gift. And I didn't want to do it, I'll just tell you flat out, because it made me super nervous. Yeah, Jocelyn, yes, Jocelyn came with the first one, and oh, are you kidding? Like, it couldn't have been a bigger issue. And so we've had a, Eli did one, and then Jill did one. And Jill, I have your video, but I didn't ask Dan to cue it up. So would you mind taking a moment this week? Because I'll tell you real honestly, the first two, I felt like the Lord showed up powerfully and flipped the situation, just right then and there, like, woohoo. And with Jill, I didn't feel like that happened at all. I felt like I gave her some nice words and a good encouragement, but I did not feel the Lord flip it for her. But other people in the room came up to Jill afterwards. So Jill, will you tell them about a little bit about how you felt that experience went and what happened afterwards? It wasn't the thing.
Right. Then the Holy Spirit came and everything was different. But I got really, really good words from people afterwards that came up to me. And from the men, really good words. Yeah. Yours just, like, so stuck out to us. And when I was reading it to Stella, I was just like, wow, that was good. And it was actually about a week before I was able to share it with Stella, just because our lives were really busy and I couldn't find a time to sit down with her. And it was all just as true and just as moving and spiritual when I sat down and had a conversation with her and I read through each of the cards. It changed a lot. And there were some really good and very specific words of knowledge that people gave us.
Yeah.
In regard to her physical body. And people that were imparting some knowledge about what part of her brain wasn't functioning the way it should be, and even like an herb. To take
a very specific herb.
Brain function, and we Googled it, and this herb does really help with that infection in the brain.
And they had no idea that it did.
Yeah, and it's something that's in my medicine cabinet. I take it, but I had never thought to give it to Stella. So we did start on that program, and then there was another specific medical thing that someone had suggested that wasn't a suggestion, it was a word from the Lord saying, tell her to try this specific vitamin. That was really. Yeah, the one thing, there, a couple people gave words for me, and over the last 2 weeks, I have felt, because of that revelation, that my capacity for patience and my compassion and empathy has increased.
Oh, that's good.
Great.
Yay! That's incredible. That's incredible. And so I love that we are a community that wants to explore and practice hearing the Lord, because we know we all hear negative things all day long, right? I mean, we're all pretty aware that we hear negative things in our head and negative things in our environment all day long. I think it's so important to practice with people you can trust hearing the Lord's perspective instead. And so, does anyone want to volunteer to practice? And basically what you do is you come up and you go, here's a challenge that I really don't know how to see the Lord's perspective on. And I'll just listen, and everyone else will listen, and we'll see if we hear something from the Lord about it.
Yes.
Okay. You showed up, and then you showed up!
What? Well, I'm supposed to sit here with
you
a microphone?
With me. You don't have to talk in the mic. Right?
No, sorry.
Hey, we could go on the road. I can feel it already. Chemistry is good. All right.
Okay. I am looking for my purpose.
Oh, wow. Okay. So CJ is looking for her purpose. And I'm just going to ask the Lord what he wants to say about that. And you guys are going to ask the Lord what he wants to say about it. And you're going to grab an index card and you're going to write down what you hear. And you do not have to share this and you do not have to give it to her. But if you decide you want to, you are welcome to. How fun is this, right? I love it.
It's awesome.
I know, but, right? Mm-hmm. We get to do these things. It's so great. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for CJ and who you made her to be. We thank you that she is a bold, courageous, strong, loving, deeply loyal person. That she loves to the point of death. that she defends the defenseless, that she is a person who always has her radar up for others. So this is what I'm perceiving about you. Is any of this accurate?
Absolutely.
See, yeah, fun, right?
It's right on.
If you want to practice a word of knowledge, the difference between wisdom and a word of knowledge is a very specific fact that is either true or not true. So it is that's a word of knowledge. And the Lord gives us words of knowledge for each other just to kind of show us how intimate he is with us and how much he loves us. So for example, when Jill had the word of knowledge, when somebody came up to her and she goes, I keep hearing this herb, turmeric. And she's like, I have no idea why. She goes, but I Googled it and it's for pandas, it's for mental health, it's for, yes, it's for that very specific thing. And so she didn't know that ahead of time. So turmeric was a word of knowledge. So if you have something like that, put it on your card. Even if it seems weird or different, like it could be a color, it could be a scent, it could be an activity, it could be anything. This is the fun. We get to explore this and have fun, and you're not fragile, and you're not gonna get like discouraged if someone doesn't get it right.
That's right.
So, yay! So, Lord, I'm gonna take a risk, and for some reason, does CJ, are those initials for a longer name?
Mm-hmm.
And is Charlotte one of those names?
Nope.
It's not. See, okay, there we go. Didn't get it. What is it?
Carolyn.
Did anybody get Carolyn? And does anybody get or have a guess as to what her J stands for? Take a moment. You have to just rest yourself for a moment and listen and see if the Lord wants to give you what her name J stands for. And why does the Lord do this? Jesus walked up to people and he told them who they were. Right? Remember the woman at the well? He did this all the time because he wanted people to be known and loved. He said, everything that I have done, you will do, and greater things. So is this some sort of crazy game? Yes, but it's also getting to practice the very things that Jesus did. So, right? Yay, okay. So, who thinks they have a thought on what the J stands for? Go ahead, Darby. Jamaica?
Jamaica me crazy.
Caroline, Jamaica. And does Jamaica have any meaning to you?
Nope.
No. Okay. You just never know. Okay. Go ahead, Eli.
Joan?
Nope. Jean? Correct.
Jean's correct. Who got Jean? Anyone else?
Yes.
You wrote Jean.
She said
you
it
wrote
right
Jean.
Away.
You, how many people got Jean?
Yeah.
Okay, seriously?
I know you're great.
Yes.
That's incredible. And for the numbers of people in this room, I'm sorry, I'm like a goosebumps all over. How fun is this, right? Okay, Caroline. Really? Okay. Who else has what they think is a word of knowledge about CJ, Caroline Jean?
Don't call me Caroline, please.
Okay, CJ.
I really hate that name.
Really?
Okay.
There we go.
Good one.
Right? Why? What is... Are you...
You said Charlotte.
And you're from...
But her name's Carolyn.
Okay.
Carolyn, though.
Oh.
Which is different from Caroline.
Gotcha.
Different.
Okay.
It was a stretch.
That's a stretch. It's either on or off, but thank you. Okay. Who else had... They feel like they have a word of knowledge? Go ahead.
Horses.
Are horses meaningful to you?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. These are yes or no's. We're not going to expand.
Wow.
Right? She said, does her the issue have to do with her mom?
Yeah. My mom just died.
So, being known, being loved. Okay. Right.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does anybody...
I don't cry real tears. This is just fake. Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty amazing.
Right? Yeah. Does anybody... Yep, Jill.
Wow.
Beautiful metaphors and you're not like working.
great. I will accept that invitation. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Does anybody else feel that they doesn't have to be specifically related to the thing that was just shared? It can be anything. Go ahead, Eli. Patterns? Can you expand on that at all?
That's interesting.
What I'm perceiving in you saying that, Eli, is what I saw when I was asking the Lord was something being passed down from your mom to you.
Yeah.
And you know how something's made a certain way, a pattern, and then that pattern gets passed. I feel like there's some the Lord wanting to really bless and multiply in you your mom's heritage and legacy. And it has a lot to do with your questions about your identity. That who your mom was, the beautiful, magnificent parts of who she was, and that's who he really made her to be, is really your legacy now to explore. Was there anything unresolved with your mom when she passed?
A lot.
Yeah.
It just got resolved, though.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
That's so
And cool. Horses were involved. Yes. In a past life, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, why don't we just bless? Does anybody else have anything else they want to? Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I don't know why, but like when they were saying names, I said Joy. And I was like, I don't know why, but like just even watching you, there's a certain kind of joy about you. Mm-hmm. Then as I've been sitting here and stuff, when my mom passed away, my aunt read me a scripture, and the only part that I ever remember of the scripture is, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that, it just seems like it ties in the fact that you just lost your mom, but there's a certain joy about you still, even though you're proud about your mom. But I think resolution and having that answer, you know, having that closure with your mom, it brings a certain joy.
Absolutely. You
know?
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, for whatever reason, that's it. It's just kind of, it's just that.
That's actually very meaningful to me. Thank you.
Very fun.
That's awesome.
We'll take one more minute, and if you want to listen to the Lord about who he says CJ is, just take a moment and listen and see what comes to you about who he wants to affirm to her that she is. If you want to write it down on your card, you're welcome to do that, but anyone's welcome to take a moment and just share with CJ what we hear. Yeah. Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else? That's so good. I really resonate with that. I felt like the Lord showed me at the very beginning when you first came to sit down that you're a defender of the helpless. But I felt like the Lord said that defender of the helpless has been a part of your, like, it's who he made you to be. But I feel like this next year is going to be a real season of you coming into an understanding of his great love for you, and that everything is going to flow from that place of being a child of God. Like, he is awakening in you the eyes to see the fullness of what you mean to him, and for you to really realize with your own hands and with your own eyes who he is to you. No longer hidden, no veil, not out there, right here.
Great. Fantastic.
Yay.
Okay. So if you guys want to give your cards to her, you can, and we're just going to bless you. Lord, thank you for her boldness. Thank you for her courage. Thank you for her letting us practice listening to you. Thank you that this is a practice. We don't have to get it right. We get to play and have fun in the kingdom of God, learning how to encourage each other, not just with what we think, but also with our spirit and what we perceive. And that you love when we take risks like this. CJ, we bless you. And Father, we receive the blessing that you have for us this week to walk out and be your goodness, to be the deep, deep well that pours out the love and the kindness and the affection of heaven in every place we walk into. Amen.